Amen. Amen. And good evening to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Good to see everybody. Tonight I will attempt to deliver the last message of the lesson series that I started a while back entitled the Jesus Examination Series. The Jesus Examination Series. This is actually lesson number 11 in Numbers. Lesson 10 in my notes. Part 1 this morning, part 2 tonight. I can't say this of all the studies that I have studied to this point in my ministry, in my fairly young, old ministry. There's not been anything else that I have studied about that has given me as much joy, as much pain, as much humility than anything else I've studied to this point in my life, including grad school, just because of what it is has made me and helped me to do. I haven't been able to deliver everything I've studied, of course, but it is just made me appreciate the Savior, our Savior, much more. Lesson number one, and I'll just entitle, I'm going to jump right to the chase. Lesson number one was entitled His Birth. Number two was entitled Undeniable Affirmations. We tried to deliver the messages in a way that they would be informational, investigative, but inspiring. And I know the biased part is you already know I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. But I know that in the audience, there are always those who are sometimes on the fence and don't know exactly what they believe or why they believe it. And I understand that. And many of us have been there. We've been on that fence before. And if we're still here, it's because we've stepped off the fence. But some of us have sit on that fence, and some are not here because they fell off the other side of the fence or chose to not serve Jesus Christ. The third lesson was entitled, Why Did Jesus Come Into the World? Questions that we tried to address of individuals with sincere hearts would ask, why did Jesus come into the world? And even Christians need to know. We talked about lesson number four, Jesus in the flesh and how he lived a human life and how he lived as a 100% man on the earth. When he was on the earth. And lesson number five, we talked about his life and how Jesus paid his dues. God didn't send him here as a grown man. He was a boy and he studied just like we studied, and he listened and he asked questions. We talked about in lesson number seven, began to talk about his teaching and how his teaching was distinctive. And he said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. It's not just emotional, but he that doeth the will of the Father. We talked about in lesson number eight, the kingdom of God was the focus of his ministry, a focus of his message, the kingdom of God, and how we act in the kingdom of God. And number one, how we treat each other is what he focused on first in the kingdom of God before he started talking about details of how the kingdom of God would be set up and how it would be established. But he did go into details in the organizational structure of the kingdom and the name of the kingdom. And so all of that was part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lesson number nine was the kingdom of God. Lesson number 10 this morning, we can't talk about Jesus without examining his death. And that's what we covered this morning. And tonight, we want to end this series, but not our study of Jesus. Amen. So this, you had, you don't, but Gary, thank you so much, because I now know all about Jesus. You know, you would, probably wasn't here for every lesson anyway. And you sure, we can't claim we know everything about Jesus in 10 lessons. But tonight I want to end on his resurrection. His resurrection. So all these lessons, if you want all the notes, I have them. I have all the notes, but they're my notes. And so the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the foundation of the Christian faith. Amen. It's the foundation. Amen. It's what set Jesus apart from every, anybody. Amen. And it's the nail in our belief that, yes, he died, but, oh, he was resurrected. Amen. See, some of our young people have, we've seen so many movies on people being raised from the dead, we think it's just not no big deal. You know, all of these movies and TV shows, Dracula, Blackula. You probably, some of you don't know about Blackula, but that was out a long time ago. And you see it, and you go to the movies, and you see somebody die, and all of a sudden they raise up like it's no big deal. It's a big deal when somebody could raise from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:14. And if Christ has not been raised, Paul said, then our preaching is vain. He says, your faith is also, if Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, we wasting time tonight. Amen. Paul said, all my preaching, and he preached a lot up to this point in his life, is all worthless. He wrote this in a letter, Romans 1:4. Romans 1:4. Who was declared the Son of God. With power, the scripture said, by the resurrection. Why? By the resurrection of the dead. It is what gives Jesus the power. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody said they raised from the dead. You look at them, cross-eyed. Yeah, because they're telling a tale. There's testimony. We'll talk about that in just a second. But he was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:16. 1 Corinthians 15:16. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Paul makes another point. He says, not only did Jesus, was Jesus raised from the dead, he says the dead in Christ also gonna be raised. And if they're not raised, then Jesus wasn't raised. As we said, then Jesus was not raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sin. That's how important it is. That's how important. See how these lessons tie together? See, we start with Jesus' birth. We even did Jesus actually, he lived. We start with other things that he did. They made him so distinctive. He taught with one as one having authority. He taught these different kind of teachings. He taught about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has come. But all of that would have been meaningless if he had not backed it up with some shown up power. To declare who he was. And that's what God did. And that's what Jesus did. I don't have. Now, I was looking for some other material and some other proofs. And I didn't want to bring that here tonight. I didn't want to bring that to you. There are those who have all kind of arguments why they don't necessarily believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. And you know, I'll let you look at that on your own. Because the Apostle Paul, when he writes, notice this, he's writing to those, they've already attested to Jesus Christ. But some actually must have had some kind of doubt. Well, is he really, for some were teaching maybe Jesus really didn't reign. That's been a question throughout the ages. Some of us, you have to make up your own mind what you believe. Based on not just words, but evidence. The plethora of evidence throughout the ages, the same that's been taught today was taught thousands of years ago. Amen. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Matthew 28, if you turn there, first he was seen by Mary. He was seen by Mary and Mary. Mary and Mary. I want to give you these biblical facts, especially you young folks, because you're going to be challenged with this. and you need to get your facts straight. You need to know, first of all, you need to know what the Bible teaches. Now, there have been enough individuals attacking what the Bible teaches, but you need to first know what it teaches so you'll know how to approach them. Amen. And this is what the scripture says now after the Sabbath. In verse number 1, Matthew 28, 1, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Very important for you to remember the first day. That's why we're here today. Upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together. That's why we worship God on the first day of the week. Notice this. Where did we get that from? Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1. That's a whole nother lesson. Acts chapter 1, Jesus had a 40-day workshop with his apostles. And he taught them things concerning the kingdom of God. What day are you going to worship on? The first day of the week. Why? They did it in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. We take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. What's so distinctive about the first day of the week? That's when the power came. Yes, yes, yes. And Mary, on the first day, our first day of the week is not the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week. It was the day of rest under the Old Testament. The first day of the week is what day, church? Sunday, our Sunday on the calendars. Are we here on the right day? Right day today. Mary, Magdalene, and the other Mary. Mary, Mary. Some of the gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, give different, a little bit different accounts. Not controversial accounts, but they give more detail, more or less detail. Mary Magdalene came to look at the grave. This is the third day. He came to look at the grave. Jesus had been crucified. We talked about his death this morning. Behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Notice this. Notice the eyewitnesses. Get your facts straight. Mary and Mary saw it, but more than Mary and Mary saw it. Guards were there watching the grave of Jesus. They saw, they heard, felt the earthquake. They saw the earthquake. You'll see that in just a moment. Their fear came up. They became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, do not be afraid. To the women, do not be afraid. For I know that you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. Amen. The angel told them that. Jesus is not here. You looking for Jesus? Oh, he's not here. He has risen just as he said. He said, if you destroy this tabernacle when he was on earth living, I will raise it up in 3 days. Just as he said, Jesus has always been good at his word. Yeah. Oh, I love the Bible. Lord have mercy. It just confirms it over and over again. Come see the place where he was laying, the angel said to them. Boy, I bet you think they were scared. I'd have been scared to death. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you to Galilee, where there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. I'm telling you the truth. Go tell your disciples. Where are the disciples, Brother Gary? They scared and hiding. All the men, sisters, don't say nothing. Yeah, all the men scared. Sisters went back looking for Jesus. They got to witness it. Listen to verse number 8. Verse number 8, and they left the tomb quickly with fear. I told you they were scared. That's natural. Lord of mercy. You've been there. Jesus is gone. They are afraid and great joy. Scared, but oh, guess what? He said he was going to do it. With great joy. And ran to report it to the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped Jesus, 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 Jesus. The Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, and go and take the word to my brethren. I told you the brethren were somewhere else, to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. Verse 11, now while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests. All the told you more than Mary, and Mary saw what happened. They were there. They witnessed the earthquake. They saw the stone move. They saw it. And they went and told the chief priests. Who are the chief priests? The same chief people that had Jesus crucified. I wonder, did they get scared? They should have. Told them all that the Lord, hey, y'all, listen, I'm telling you, we were there. There was an earthquake. The stone moved, y'all. Jesus got up. He is gone. We saw it for ourselves. And when they had assembled, notice they told the chief priests. The chief priests got together. They got together to lie on Jesus. Now they're getting together to try to scheme again on him. Amen. With the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. How much money did they give him, Brother Gary? The Bible says a large, I don't know how much money, but they knew he did what? Are you sure he did what? Look, I tell you, listen, don't tell nobody this. And they gave him some money. You know, the Bible does say money answers all things. But you know, I wonder, if you was one of the guards, would you have taken that money? You don't, amen. They took the money and said, you are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And then they even took it. And if this should come to the governor's ears, this should come to Pilate's ears, we'll win him over, just like we won him over to crucify Jesus. Just like they forced him to do it. He says, and keep you out of trouble. God, don't worry about it. We got your back. They should have been saying, we need to be serving this Jesus. And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. So that's why, young people, you need to get all these facts. You'll believe in Jesus more when you read the Bible. And you know what? You see how evil men scheme. They scheme and crucify Jesus. But look, you cannot fight against God's word. Amen. They did all. They did everything they could. They tried to buy the guys. And they gave them consolation. But you can't console what God has already in place. Amen. Notice this. And this story was widely spread among the Jews. And they still telling this same old lie that Jesus really didn't raise from the dead. What happened was the disciples stole his body. That story is still told even this very day. It was a lie then, and it's a lie today. And Paul comes along and wrote 1 Corinthians 15:3, as he writes a passage that we are all familiar with, writes a part of his letter. There were many other eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says, for I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. See, our main proof is the scripture, because we were not there. And the details in the scripture, as they correlate from prophecy to New Testament time, the gospel books, to the letters of the epistles of the Apostle Paul, to the book of Revelation, they all tie together to create this binding faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And that he appeared to Cephas. Notice Cephas was Peter. Now notice Paul didn't get it, and he didn't say he appeared to feet to Cephas first, because who did Jesus appear to first? Mary. The women first. But he said they appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, the apostles. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. You think all of them were crazy? You didn't know, they didn't know who Jesus was. And Paul says, I'm just giving you all the facts. And he says, then most of them who remain at the time of Paul's writing until now, most of them still living right now. But some of them have fallen asleep. Some of them have died, he said. Then verse 7, then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles, all those who have been sent. And last of all, as the one untimely born, he appeared to me also.
Amen.
Hmm. Let the church say, praise the Lord. And yes, there are some who still doubt as we examine the life of Jesus, as we examine his life closely. Yes, there's some. I think there's always going to be some who doubt and some who try to renounce. Because if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and you still deny God, something wrong with you, my brother, my sister. Because there is nothing more powerful than that. Even after Jesus came back to the apostles, Thomas wasn't there with him, and he was one of those doubters. He was one of those, I hear what y'all saying, but it just don't make sense. I need to see it for myself. You know, Jesus paid him a visit. And he said to Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see. Oh, it sounds like he's talking to us.
Amen.
Yet believe.
Amen.
Do we have some believers in here tonight?
Amen.
In the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brother Johnson read in your hearing a few moments ago, Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to read verse 5 in your hearing as I close. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death. This is some individuals, you know, we fight baptism. We talked about that. You see, only way you become united with Christ in the likeness of his death. God didn't ask us to die on the cross. We all need to be saying praise the Lord. We talked about his death this month. God didn't ask you to be nailed on the cross, but he did ask you to unite with Christ in the likeness of his death. And the only way you do that is through the water. Unless the man is born again, he cannot, he will not enter into the kingdom of God. He says, but when we were united in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Yeah, some things I do, you know, this is where, movies and things, you know, you see things and I know sometimes in my mind, I wonder how it's going to be on resurrection. The Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what the scriptures say. Sometimes say, well, mama, I sure hate mama gone on. Mama's a Christian. I hope they take daddy gone. That's sad. It's sad when we lose our loved one. But one thing about it, if they die in Christ, they rise. They get first dibs, if you will.
Amen.
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 And we know the resurrection of the dead. It's going to be a glory. It's going to be something the movies can't depict what this is going to be like.
Amen.
We know that we're going to be caught up. The scriptures say we're going to be caught up in the air. You heard me say I love the cartoons, and you know I've been trying to fly for a long time. When I was young, I used to run around with a cape on, and one time I was going to jump out of a tree. I made a parachute, and my mother caught me before I jumped. I'm not trying that now.
No, please.
But one day, we're going to fly. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you need to be united with Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, you need to be united with Christ because you want to be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. Notice this.
Amen.
Jesus resurrected from the grave. And the Bible says he ascended to the right hand of the Father. After he came back from the grave, he spent 40 days with his disciples, and they said, and when Jesus was ascending, and the angel came and says, why do you stand up here gazing? Because the same way he ascended, he's going to descend when he come back for us. So Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father, never to die. anymore. Ain't no more dying for Jesus. No. And the next time he come, he gonna come with his. I don't wanna. He coming with his posse. And he coming to claim all of the saints. Dead in Christ shall rise first. And some of us might be here alive when he comes. And we might not die the physical death like our folks who die, but the Bible says we all shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But you ain't gonna have time to get nothing straight. Oh, wait a minute, Jesus. I got one more. No, you don't have one more thing to do. And so whatever you need to do it tonight.
Amen.
Come to Jesus by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Are you willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness? You know, and I love it that some of our young people are getting baptized, because that's the best time to make a decision for God is when you're young.
Amen.
You get old, your mind go bad.
Amen.
You get stuck in your ways.
Amen.
People fill your heart with all kinds of things. I've seen young people, we said, "Book here, I'm not ready right now because I got some struggles." But look here, you're going to have struggles all your life, young man, young woman. You better struggle with God right now.
Amen.
Some young people make the decision. They say, "I'm gonna put it out. I'm gonna put it where I don't want," and they never ever come to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Some of our parents ask me, "Brooke, is it too much? Is my baby too young? Is too young?" Well, listen, it just depends to me. It depends on how much you've taught them, how much they've been exposed to, how many times they've been in Bible class. What do you do at home? Do you pray? Do they see you living for God?
Amen.
I got baptized when I was 9. Don't tell nobody. Once I say, "Well, yeah, you see, you different because you grew up in." Well, I was 9 years old when I got baptized. I knew exact. I attended every Bible class. I knew my books of the Bible. I knew when I did wrong, and I knew I didn't want to go to hell. So it depends on the parents. It depends on the input you get, because there's some folks 25 years old and don't need to get baptized because they don't know what they're doing.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
But God is good. This is a good night.
Amen.
But yeah, you're supposed to be short. I'm short. I'm stopping. I'm short. We got time to baptize you tonight, though. Somebody come to Jesus. Get something right in your life. Come as we stand and sing.